Hey, now in our studio, we have a very, very special guest, a 2010 graduate of Cook County High School, one of our own, Paul Samuelson. Paul, welcome into the studio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Paul, we've invited you in here because you have just come back from your tour of duty over in Iraq. And I'd just like to say thank you again for helping serve our country. We know that you take this job very seriously. I, again, as your former teacher, am impressed. I just can't believe how much you've grown up. You know, you went from such a kind of a punk, and now you're such a grown-up man doing such important things. It's just so admirable. Tell us about your experience over in Iraq.
Well, it's pretty much living in a completely different world. It's nothing like being over back home at all. There's sand everywhere. There's hot all the time. Sometimes it gets cold during the night. The locals over there didn't really like us that much. Some did, some didn't. Pretty much the only thing I can describe is it's once-in-a-lifetime experience is being a completely different culture than you're ever used to. Nothing ever gets you prepared for it whatsoever.
Now, when you went into the Guard, you knew that you would be going to Iraq. Is that correct?
Yep.
And what did you think about that? What were you? Were you nervous, scared, excited? What was going through your mind?
I was all of those. I was a nervous wreck. I didn't know what to expect because all my guys who had been over there already telling me all these horror stories about how they always got into contact to fire. They'd be blown up quite a bit. They'd have amazingly close calls where they didn't know that they'd actually live through it. So I went thinking that we were going guns blazing, kicking doors down. Wasn't anything like that at all.
So what was it more like?
My role there was I was a truck driver in a convoy escort team. And so I was in the scout truck. I was ahead of the whole entire convoy, roughly, you know, between 5 to 1,000 meters in front of the convoy, clearing the route. And pretty much it was just three of us in a truck by ourselves out in the wind, just having no idea what to expect.
So there you are, half a mile ahead of all the other trucks, equipment, people, and you're there to make sure that you have a secured path.
Yep.
Did you ever run into trouble at all?
We came a couple close calls, yeah.
Can you describe any of them or talk about them?
Yeah, for one of the nights that I actually didn't think I was going to get through was we were going down a highway and we had to take an exit ramp off to get onto the next route to get to the air base that we were trying to get to. And I was looking, we just took the exit ramp, and I was looking off to the left, and my gunner was looking behind us, throwing chem sticks so all the other trucks behind us knew, hey, we're taking this exit to get off.
Okay.
And my sergeant was on the radio telling our staff sergeant that we were taking the exit. And just as he saw it, I had saw it too. Right on the right, there was this big hole with a bucket, a stick, and a bunch of wires laying right there. Mm. And none of us, we had no idea what we were supposed to do. Because by the time we saw it, we were maybe 5 feet away from it. And we just rolled right past it, just waiting for it to blow up on us.
Wow. I mean, that's a great example. You know, there's a little bit of teamwork there. And that's our theme this week. So you have any other experiences that you had to do with teamwork when you were in Iraq?
Oh, I have tons of stories about teamwork.
First of all, I'd like to say, wow, that was a frightening story. Before, I didn't mean to cut you off, but wow, Paul, I have no idea what that's like. You know, how do you prepare for that? I mean, did you get training for that? I mean, how do you sort of steel yourself for these, you know, grave possibilities?
You can get trained as much as possible. You can be the most trained professional out there in the world, but the first time you come on something like that, you just freeze. You don't know what to do. Because what I should have done is I should have stopped immediately, but I just froze. I had no idea. We all just sat there and stared at it. Hmm. My gunner just froze. He just curled up in a little ball waiting for it.
Hmm.
And me and my sergeant, we just sat there and stared at it as we rolled right past it. And then after we rolled past it, nothing happened. That's when I hit the brakes, and we all went into our training mode.
Hmm. Wow. So again, back to what Sterling was saying. So, I mean, and these guys were more than, this was your team, your brother, your family.
Yep.
You know, tell us some other examples of how teamwork played a role in your time there.
Well, one of the greatest things about teamwork is communication. What we always say is communication is key. we'd always keep in contact with every other guy that was behind us. We tell them, hey, all right, we see this up ahead, you know, just keep eyes on, this looks suspicious. For example, we also had Black Hawk helicopters patrolling around the night sometimes, and they like to, you know, when they saw us, they like to follow us and give us a little heads up on what's ahead of us. A great story about that one and teamwork is we're driving along one of the more dangerous routes, and the Blackhawks were above us, and they told us that we needed to stop right now. So we stopped, and we got them on the radio, and we're like, hey, what's going on? Why did you have a stop? Turns out there was there was five explosives set in front of us about 5 kilometers or so, and there was an ambush waiting to hit us right after we hit those. Ugh. If those Blackhawks wouldn't have been up there and saw that and communicated to us, tell us to stop, we would have hit that and we would have been in a world of hurt.
Communication is key.
So I can't even imagine like a situation like that at all.
So do you guys got some pretty high-tech communication then? Or is it just like radios the size of, you know, like the equipment in here?
They're like satellite radios. I mean, they work good, but they're not that great.
If you're just tuning into us with us now, this is the Youth Radio Project, and we are interviewing 2010 graduate from Cook County High School, Paul Samuelson. Paul is here in the studio tonight talking about his experiences over in Iraq. And again, we thank you, Paul, and welcome you back, and we're glad to see you. The theme is teamwork, and so you've been telling us these stories of how you've had to rely on your team, your through communication. Tell us again, so now that you're back, what's life like?
I'm just finally getting used to it. I got back about beginning of April. I finally got back to the States, and I'm just now starting to get used to all these things, you know, not having to be in a hostile area anymore, not having to worry about people coming up behind me or trying to kill us, shoot at us, blow us up. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore.
So I have a question. Are the people that you were on tour with, do you miss them? I mean, because you must have worked with them all the time.
Yeah, we lived, worked, and sleep together. I mean, we do everything together. We'd be together all the time, 24/7. I miss them a lot. I mean, a lot of them live in the cities. Some live in Duluth. Some live farther than the cities. But, I mean, we talk to each other and call each other from time to time. You know, just see how things are going with one another, make sure everything's okay. If there's anything we want to talk about, you know, we can always call them and talk to them about anything.
Do these guys have, like you, has it been weird for them to come back from that world into this world?
Yep, the guys that had already been on tours before me, they were telling me about how much different it is going from a hostile area to coming back to the States. It's completely different. Like, one of my corporals that was in my platoon, he said that one time he was driving, he had just gotten back, he was driving with his wife, and he seen a bag of trash on the side of the road and freaked out, slammed on the brakes, popped in reverse, and this was in the middle of the road. And he slammed in reverse, just screaming at his, because he thought he was in the truck. So he was screaming at his gunner to, you know, check 360, make sure there's nothing else coming. I mean, he had no idea. He thought he was back over there.
Hmm.
So for you personally, is this jumpiness you talked about, is it shocking or is it just like an annoyance? Like, oh, I can't believe I did that again.
It gets confusing. I mean, it is kind of a shocking thing. It wasn't as bad for me as it was for those guys because, I mean, those guys, they literally had been blown up a couple. Some of them had been blown up a couple times. Some of them had actually been shot. So for me, it wasn't as bad as they had it, but I still was pretty jumpy about things from time to time.
And how else would you say this experience has changed you?
It's changed me in quite a few ways. My thinking is a lot different. I feel like I've matured a lot more. I see some of what my friends have been up to and some of the people I've graduated. And, I mean, I'm not trying to be, like, mean to them or anything, but I'm a lot more mature. I don't do the stuff that they do that I would like to do when we were back in high school. I had all these plans, you know, going to college and partying all the time and just being, you know, just getting all sorts of trouble, and I don't even think like that whatsoever. I mean, I want to go back to college, go to school, and, you know, actually start getting into the career path that I want to be in.
That's great advice, Paul. I mean, again, it was, you know, you graduated 2010. That's only 2 years ago. I mean, it's like a blink in the eye, and it, you know, it was you just wearing the robes and walking the walk, and now here you are. So you're back for the summer. What's the next step? What happens? What do you do from here? Where do you go?
After the summer is over, I'm gonna, you know, take the rest of the winter off, and I'm gonna go and try to establish myself outside Grand Marais again. And then I'm gonna try to, I gotta study back up for all my school and stuff, because it's been a while since I've been out of school now. So I'm gonna try to get back into college here next school year.
Will you be going on any more tours?
Yeah, I'll probably end up on another one. I don't know. I just do what they tell me when they tell me.
So if you see or if you meet new recruits who, like you, had no experience, what advice would you give them? What would you say to these people who, like you, had no experience?
Are you talking about Army-wise or civilian-wise?
I'll take both.
Well, for Army-wise, if you join the Army, I mean, always listen to your chain of command. They know what they're talking about. I know I didn't do that right away. I just was like, all right, you know, whatever. But when we got over there, it was completely different, because they knew exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I paid attention to them. I learned a great deal from them. As for civilian-wise, pay attention to your teachers. I mean, I hated them when I was in high school and their stuff, but now that I'm graduated, I'm out on my own. Now, I really appreciate everything that they did for me, even though I didn't want them to do it.
It's a great answer. We are interviewing special guest Paul Samuelson, a 2010 graduate of Cook County High School, who's just recently returned from a tour in Iraq. Paul, you look great. You sound great. Again, just so amazed at how grown up and level-headed you are. It's such a joy and a pleasure to see you again.
Yeah, it's definitely a pleasure to be back again.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Paul.
Yeah, you're welcome.